Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and happy Friday. Welcome to Goddess Alive Radio. My name is Kimberly Moore. I am the founder of the Mother House of the Goddess and one of the hostesses for Goddess Alive Radio. So tickled to have all of you with us tonight. I have to admit, I'm a little bereft this evening because Tracy is not with me. Unfortunately, she had to, well, not unfortunately, fortunately, she had to go pick up her gorgeous daughter from college who's coming home for the summer, so she is in the process of traveling. We will wish her safe, safe journeys and know that she will be back with us for our next broadcast, and I can't wait. So that's okay. I'm going to console myself tonight with our super special guest, Lynn Andrews. Lynn is just, you know, besides being an internationally renowned author and teacher and shaman, she's a very, very special lady. So I'm going to bring her on in just a few minutes. A couple of quick things for housekeeping for motherhouseofthegoddess.com. I invite you to check out the blog. We have some really great things going on. Amantha sent in a beautiful Beltane post about the goddess Maeve. So happy Beltane the day after to everyone. And shared with us some of the goddess mythology and ritual and stories around the goddess Maeve, because Beltane is all about Maeve and the fairies. So I encourage you to check that out. As well, from our last Goddess Alive radio show where we had Ellen come on talking about dreams and dreaming, she gave us a great list of books and resources for dreamers. So you can find that at motherhouseofthegoddess.com. And for those who are looking to be more productive in your dreaming, here are some of the books that Ellen recommends and that we think are just absolutely spot on. We are also really, really thrilled to welcome Margaret Ann Lembo as one of the contributors to Mother House of the Goddess. Margaret is an author, spiritual teacher, and owner of the Crystal Garden store. So look for some really great things coming from her. She's excellent with crystals, and we've got a post coming next week about the goddess Selene and selenite, the crystal. So very thrilled to have her, and lots of really good stuff going on. I hope you had a great week. There was some planetary funky up and down. You know, Mercury has been a little bit challenging in its squares and trines. And, you know, I've been keeping up with Louise at Your Cosmic Connections. And and I don't know about you, but I have certainly been feeling it. So we are hoping now that, you know, coming into a little bit of an easier period, and certainly as we come into May and summer, I hope your weather and everything is really improving wherever you are. Although I did see that Utah had snow this past week, again, in the high elevations, and I had to giggle just a little bit. Our heat index here in South Florida, for everyone who would like to know, was 97 today. So it's been a little bit warm. So, Lynn Andrews, let's talk about Lynn. I, again, am just absolutely thrilled. You know, Lynn has been writing books for 20 years, and they are monumental books. They are books that I think everyone that has enjoyed a spiritual path, especially with a tendency towards the shamanism or Native American or anything like that, has encountered her books in their journeys and been transformed by them. So I have a very, very good friend who's gone through Lynn's mystery school and come out the other side and just, you know, is still very connected and raves about it. So Lynn is really special, and she has a lot of really great things going on. So as we are talking tonight to Lynn, I want to encourage you to check out lynnandrews.com. Make sure you get with her on Facebook, and her Facebook is Lynn V. Andrews, and that's where all the good stuff is happening, and you can keep up with all of her travel. She was recently in Taiwan, Her annual gathering is occurring soon in Sedona. And for all of you that admire her so much as an author, her writing school is now accepting registration, and her new session starts in July. And we're going to talk about that tonight, because as a woman who has produced 20-plus books, Lynn's the person to talk to about writing and writing from the spirit and the heart. So without further ado, the best thing I can do is bring her on. So, Lynn, are you there?
I am there. Hi, honey. I'm so honored to be on your show. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. We're just tickled to have you. I mean, Lynn, you're a powerhouse, you know, and you're a very special lady, and you just come from such a wonderful place of your heart. So it's great to have you.
Well, thank you so very much.
You're welcome. So I want to talk about, you know, one of the big things is, you know, just your writing. I mean, you have written so many books. Where does your inspiration come from?
Well, my books are actually autobiographical, and they're about my experiences with women of power all over the world. I began my journey very early on. I think Medicine Woman was published in 1980, and Medicine Woman was about my extraordinary teachers and teacher and mentors that I was blessed to meet. And they have been teaching me, and I was initiated into the Sisterhood of the Shields, which is a circle of 44 women from around the world. And most of these women are native. I have spent a great deal of time in Australia. I wrote a book called Crystal Woman, Woman of the Sacred Dream Time. And then I was in Nepal and Tibet, and wrote a book called Wind Horse Woman. And so anyway, I've been all over the world studying various things, various aspects of consciousness, universal consciousness. And from the ancient paradigm of shamanism and how that those ancient teachings relate to the modern world. In my latest book, Coming Full Circle, I am talking about several of the women in the sisterhood that I have not written about before. Amy Hummingbird's Wing, who works with the bees and is a spiritual warrior, and Ruby Planet Chiefs and the Crystal Mountain Dreaming in Winona, in Switzerland. Anyway, Coming Full Circle, this latest book of mine, is a series of stories that I, you know, incredible experiences that I've had. And then I write an article at the end of each of these stories about how you can apply this wisdom to your modern life. And I think that people don't know that they even have a future today. I think people need to know that they do have a future. And I think they also need new ways of being able to solve problems. And when I say problems, I mean everyday life, of course, but I also mean that many people have trouble finding their dream. And I think that's because in early life they were abused, and therefore they were living someone else's dream the whole early part of their life. So it's very hard for them to find their real dream now. And so I work, Kim, as you know, with the Sacred Wheel, and I've been doing a series of events about the crossroads within the Sacred Wheel that are delineated north, south, east, and west. And they mean metaphorically different things symbolically, they represent a different paradigm for the process of thought. In other words, if you sit in the center of that wheel and you, let's just say you want to quit your job or you want to get a divorce, but you don't know how to make the choice and you don't know if it's the right choice. If you sit in the middle of the wheel and you look to the south, you look to the physicalness of what that decision would mean. For instance, if it's a job, that, let's just take that for a moment. The job is something that you can do maybe very easily, but you're desperately bored. You have a boss that you don't like that is, you know, difficult. All of those things would go in the south of the wheel. In other words, physically it's very unpleasing. And and then you move to the west, to the sacred dream, death and rebirth, transformation, which an emotion, woman, which lives in the west. And you ask yourself, is this part of my dream, this particular job? And you find that it's not part of your dream at all. However, you also have part of your dream is that you also want to live well. And this job provides you the possibility for that. So you get something and you have to give up something else. Is it worth it? Then you go to the east of the wheel, which is the mind and the old wise one, and you think about, is it reasonable for you to leave this job? Or mightn't you find another job that you like and maybe move on, but find it before you leave the old one, perhaps? Or you enjoy your way of life so much that maybe you have to rethink how you approach your job in the first place. Maybe you have to approach it with a different mindset. And perhaps then you can learn not to fight yourself. And if I were working with someone with that issue, I would ask the old wise one that sits in that direction to talk to you on a very personal level and tell you what she thinks. You know, what is it that you need to learn in this lifetime that maybe this job can teach you, or maybe it's a waste of time? And then you go to the north, which is spirit, and you talk to the great spirit or the goddess beings, and you talk to the stars, and you ask for guidance, and you tell the divine how much the divine activity in your life means to you, and you might find that you aren't spiritually active. And you might say, well, that does not balance the south. The south is a manifestation of your inspiration in the north. So do you have any inspiration? Do you have something that maybe your spiritual guides, your goddess beings, have told you perhaps many things that you maybe have ignored? And so what happens, Kim, is that you go around the wheel, but it gives you a chance to see things from a different perspective. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. I think, Lynn, one of the things that I love about your teachings is that you are very practical. You share your experiences. You describe what has happened with you. But then you also give teaching and guidance for people to apply it in their lives. And that's very important.
Well, it is. If they can't apply it in their life, then it's not going to mean much to them. You know, if you're a lawyer on Wall Street and all of a sudden you're reading this book on someone who is in the far north of Canada on a dog sled, and learns these things in a cabin, you think, oh, you know, they think, well, I don't think that has much to do with me. And then they find out that, you know, they're lost in the winter wasteland of of a world that perhaps no longer serves them. And do you see what I mean? So things balance out. It doesn't matter what you do in the world. These teachings are important to your sense of well-being. And, you know, it was interesting earlier you mentioned astrology. And, you know, right now this grand cross that has been happening over all of us, you know, kind of fits. You know what? I think that's my phone. Can you hear that?
Oh, no, I can hear you okay.
Well, I can't hear you. I'm going to have to call back on a cell phone. Forgive me, but I can't. It's a buzzing sound, and it's horrible.
Oh, that's okay. I'll go ahead and wait, and I'll watch for you to call back in.
I'll call back in just a moment, honey. Just let me find the number here. Okay?
Okay. Thank
wait
you.
A minute. Now it stopped. Okay, maybe it's
going
to be all right. For heaven's sake.
Well, you know, we've had some Mercury challenges in the past couple days.
Is that what it is? What is Mercury up to? Tell me.
I will, you know, it's been so very interesting. One of the ladies that I follow for astrology is Louise Eddington, and she kind of gives an every couple hour update, right? And Mercury has been squaring all kinds of things, and you know, when that happens, it really gets...
Where is Mercury now?
Let me see. If I can bring it up real quick, because she's absolutely wonderful, and, you know, oh, so this is so funny. Mercury is in Taurus, and a few hours ago she posted, the flow of mental activity and communications is slowing down and getting muddy.
Oh boy!
You know, and apparently Mercury and Saturn are in opposition. So you know that's always a challenging place to be.
Well, that would turn things upside down for some people. What do you know? What sign Saturn is in?
Yes, Saturn is in Scorpio.
Uh huh. So it trines Pisces and square. Doesn't that square Taurus?
You know, I have to say, I rely on the astrologers for that. My astrology is, let me look it up and see what's going on.
It's okay. It's all right. I don't want you to take your time doing that, but it's just interesting to me that I have been doing these series of lectures on the crossroads, the sacred crossroads, and of power. And the sacred crossroads to me is, I think, because of these changes that are happening that are very, very powerful and very significant, truly, I think people who don't even look at astrology are feeling something. It's like the carpet's kind of being pulled out from under you. And I am talking about the crossroads of power because I think at this time in human history, we really thought the end of the world was coming in 2012. And Mayan history and so forth. And I never went along with that, and neither did anyone in the sisterhood. What I see happening is the end of an old consciousness that was very limited. And there is, in actuality, a patriarchal death dance going on, say, in the Middle East in particularly. And this old way of seeing... woman, you know, if you don't see the firstness of woman, you aren't going to succeed as a religion or an organization. And it doesn't mean that woman is better than man. It's just that this is a female planet, and woman understands the energy of a female planet. And so man, there's an old adage in well, that Agnes Whistling Out told me one day. She said, man is impregnated by woman. And, of course, woman carries the void, but she teaches the man how to live. And in, you know, in return, the man teaches a woman how to manifest things and so forth. You know, it all balances out. But you would never think about that. Well, so now what's happening is that the divine feminine is rising. And but in a way different from what it was in ancient times. It's not that the goddess is better than the gods. It's that they balance. They're finally and at last going to balance out. And I really believe that is going. You hear that noise?
Yeah, no, that's okay. Yeah, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay.
Okay. Well, and you know, I just to comment on that, it's been very interesting, Lynn, for me as a goddess worshiper for, you know, over 20 years. For me, and people will say, well, what about the male? And, you know, I have my gorgeous 17-year-old boy, and, you know, and I think men are wonderful. But I also believe that right now women need to find the divine feminine because that informs then all of their other relationships. It gives them that foundation and strengthens the way that they are in relation to man.
Yes. Yes, I think that's absolutely true. I just shifted phones, so maybe this will get a little bit better.
Oh, good.
Sorry about that. I live out quite far in this particular house, and the lines get all weird from time to time.
That's okay. That is okay. Well, I think, too, what's been so wonderful about your legacy, Lynn, is that your books do focus on the divine feminine in so many ways. They're so empowering to men and especially to women. You know, was that intentional or was that simply how it evolved for you?
Well, when I wrote Medicine Woman in the 1980s, things were very, very different. I don't know, I'm sure that you know that. In 1980, my publishers put me on book tour and they said, for heaven's sake, don't mention the empowerment of woman or power. And I just looked at Clayton and I said, are you out of your mind? This is what this book is about, is taking your power as a woman. And, you know, I kind of started that whole genre in a sense. And we've now changed a great deal, although we can change a whole lot more, I think. I think women, well, anyway, there's all kinds of issues with that subject. And, you know, we can talk about that another time. But the empowerment of women now is quite a different subject and certainly is involved in different aspects. I mean, women, you know, have leapt forward, and I think the greatest number of CEOs in the country are women at this point. And women are getting into college really quite easily, whereas men are having more difficulty. Things like that that you would never expect. I think it's a very hard time for men, in a way. I think it's a hard time for all of us, but in different ways. Don't you think?
Yeah. I do. I'm very curious because you just came back from a wonderful trip in Taiwan. The pictures on your Facebook, and for our listeners, you can see them at Lynn V. Andrews on Facebook, were just stunning. I mean, the glow on the faces of everyone who attended was so beautiful. So how did you find that audience? Because you know, Taiwan's a little bit different than the U.S.
Well, they approached me because they were publishing three of my books in Taiwan. Are you there?
Wonderful. Yes, wonderful.
And so they called me, and we talked, and it took us a couple of years to get it all arranged, but they are the most exquisite people. You know, Taiwan is an interesting place. You know, when they were fighting communism in China against Mao, and the people who wanted to live in a democracy fled to Taiwan, and they instituted a democratic government and country, and it is most beautiful and abundant and free, and it is in terms of freedom. And Rosemary and her husband, who brought me over to Taiwan, were absolutely exquisite people. They're in their early 40s, and they published my books, and I think they're publishing others as well. And we put on this extraordinary event for people. And, you know, we went all over Taiwan to temples and so forth. The first one we went to was the Warriors Temple, which was fabulous, kind of an ancient concept of warriors and so forth. And then the next one we went to was Lao Tzu, who is one of my absolute favorite beings that has ever lived. And I wrote a lot about him in Shikai, Woman of the Sacred Garden. I don't know if you've read that, Kim.
Yes, and loved it. Loved it.
And it was done, you know, it was in Japan. And so when we walked into Lao Tzu's temple, which was an hour and a half outside of town, and on the side of a mountain overlooking a lake, just an exquisite gold, gilt, red, lacquered, gorgeous old building, and just fabulous. And we walked in, and I was kneeling and talking to Lao Tzu, and the statues, the middle statue was of him, and the two on the side of him were his other aspects of consciousness. And one of the monks recognized me and came running over and gave me a big hug and gave me some tiger's balm to put over my heart and a little thing to hang around my neck. And it was just incredible, and I couldn't believe he recognized me. And he was such a doll and so nice and so very tremendous peace in him and in that temple. And I'm reminded of how wonderful it is to see a country that welcomes and builds gorgeous temples to different kinds of religions. I think there's 18 different religions in that country. And everybody is, you know, oh, she's a Catholic. Oh, he's Hindu. Oh, he's a Buddhist. You know, it doesn't make any difference. People aren't fighting and lopping off heads because they don't agree with them. I mean, it was so clean and so lovely. And Taipei is the cleanest. I mean, it's just a very sophisticated city. And, you know, I was thinking about my school. You know, I have this 4-year school, Kim, that I wrote all the curriculum for, all 4 years. And it's a teaching of how we work with this feeling within us that we are lesser, that somehow we don't have a feeling of self-worth because of abuse early in life or just because, you know. And self-worth is something that you have to learn to love yourself so that then you can love others. And so I decided as I was going around the world signing books on book signings and so forth that I was working with people everywhere, and they also desperately need this work. And they need to be able to balance the physicalness of who they are, and everybody's totally different, and with the spiritual, but how to let that come in. You know, how to let peace and love and freedom and a beautiful relationship and abundance live inside of you. You know, if you don't, you have to learn how to do that. It's like anything else. You know, if you want higher consciousness, you got to learn how to do that. It isn't something that you just say affirmations every day and find yourself enlightened. You know, it just doesn't happen like that.
True. You have to work at it. You really do. And I think that what has struck me by watching people that I know personally that have gone through your mystery school is the tremendous amount of guidance that you provide and practical experience. You know, so I really encourage for our listeners, go to lynnandrews.com, investigate the mystery school. It is a commitment, but you know what? Your spirituality should be a commitment.
Well,
it's
the most important thing in your life right now is how do you make choices? How do I get myself out of the mess that I'm in? And, you know, the school is without walls, Kim. You don't go to a campus. The curriculum is written. You receive notebooks. You do a lot online. There are forums, and I work with you, and then we have two trainings a year where I work with you personally. And so it isn't something that you have to, you know, travel to Arizona or Santa Fe or wherever, you know, to complete the school. Plus, we can, if you have a bachelor's degree, if you can take the time that you have in the school and apply it to master's and PhD.
Oh,
because
I
of our
no
affiliation
idea.
With
Lynn, that's marvelous.
And nurses and practitioners can come to my events, and they get continuing education points.
That is wonderful. That is.
And then
really
we have
wonderful.
A writing school, and then we have online courses that are really fabulous, and you take those, obviously, from your home. And the online courses, we give 4 a year, and they're about a month and a half long.
I want to talk a little bit about the writing school. I'm really intrigued by that, and I think our listeners, you know, especially, again, looking at your legacy and, you know, how amazing you've been at writing your book. Tell us a little bit about what people could expect if they enroll in your writing school.
Well, I wrote a book called Writing Spirit, and it's about finding your own creative soul. I think oftentimes writers get bogged down in the languaging of books, of writing. And I wanted to bring forth something that would talk to you about your talent, your passion. Where is that coming from? And, you know, in my book, Medicine Woman, well, really all my books, but in Medicine Woman in particular, you know, I'm a woman who got disgruntled with the ordinary world and kind of left it behind to move over the threshold into something new and totally unknown to me. And it's like the hero's journey, really. And so I take you along on the hero's journey of your own passion and help you to find what it is that you really want to write about. And I ask you things like, who is writing? You know, who are you? And we go on a much more abstract journey, probably, than you would get in a more linear form of a school. Do you know?
Yes, I love that.
And it's a shake-up, you know. My book, Writing Spirit, you know, is a wonderful book. I am so proud of that book. And then I wrote a handbook. It's a workbook. And the workbook, it delves deeply into different levels of reality and moves you around completely, and it's good because what it does is it uncovers the layers of the cocoon and lets finally the butterfly be born, you know, and it flies away and is beautiful.
That is so cool. And it is a very different, you know, it's a different format. You know, for myself as a writer, writing from spirit, writing from my soul and my passion is very different than my business writing or, you know, anything else.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, gosh, yeah.
And
we do a lot of journaling. Journal writing is very important, I think. And but anyway, thank you for dwelling on that for a moment, because the writing school, I think, is not only is it about writing, but it's delving in a true shamanic way into the depths of your soul. And by the way, for your listeners who don't know what a shaman is, shamans are people with special abilities. They're different in every nation, any tribe that a person would come from. If you were in Alaska, your ceremonies would be about hunting for seal. If you come from the Mayan world, you have a very different ceremonies indeed. And so I am not part of any tribal affiliation. The women of the Sisterhood have memorized an ancient wisdom that has been passed down from women to daughters to mothers throughout history. And it was done that way because the women and the children were the ones who usually survived wars. And they protected this wisdom. And I'm actually the first person ever to publicly come out and talk about these things.
What, Lynn, and being that person, and I mean, you know, you started, as you said, in a time that where they said don't talk about power or anything like that. What has been the reception and the evolution for all of this for you? You know, and how do you feel about that?
I've had quite a history. You know, writing about a medicine woman implies that I was writing about myself as part of a native world. Well, it wasn't at all. People misunderstood it completely. I was writing about Agnes Whistling Elk and Ruby Plenty Chiefs, who are native women, who are my mentors. And I wasn't implying that I was a medicine woman in any way, particularly in those days. And it was all misunderstood, I've had an interesting time. I've had people, you know, mad at me, and I don't know why. I'm writing about, you know, my personal life as honestly as I could possibly do, and with the most honoring feeling for, in particularly, elder women. And anyway, it's been beautifully received around the world, in actuality, and, you know, a few bumps in the road for sure. But basically, it's been just such an enlightening journey. And so I'm just filled with such care and love. And in particularly, because, you know, I'm surrounded by this magnificent group of men and women that are, you know, they're just so very, very precious to me. And they come out of all of this learning and have been so dedicated not only to me and to the teachings, but also to themselves. You know, it takes great dedication to move in through a society that speaks a very pragmatic and a very materialistic language. And, you know, a society grows out of the language that you speak. And we're speaking English, and it produces the kind of world that we're living in, which is wonderful. But it also is very difficult for an artist, for the artist mind, for the writer who loves, you know, the beauty of the written word and art in all of its facets. It's very hard to be an artist in this world, that's for sure, particularly today.
Yes.
Don't you
I would
think,
agree with
Kim?
That. I would. You know, I definitely would agree with that. And then I would also say that because of social media and the ability to connect globally, that we are able to find our tribe much more easily now than
mm-hmm.
we ever could.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really true. It's wonderful.
I have, in my school, you know, I have women from the Middle East and all over the world that become part of the school, become part of the teachings, and there is no way in the holy world that they could be part of the school if we weren't working on the computer, you know?
Absolutely. I know. And it's amazing to me how your work and message and teachings have spread even pre-computer and now. The dedication, it's a beautiful testament to you, Lynn, to see, like, getting on your Facebook and just the love and appreciation that people have for you. It's a wonderful testament to what you've done. So thank you.
Out there, please go on Facebook and like me, and I'll like you back.
Yeah. Do it. Absolutely. You don't want to miss even a smidgen of the great stuff that Lynn shares and the opportunities. So, you know, absolutely. LynnAndrews.com. On Facebook, it's Lynn V. Andrews. And you can tweet with at Lynn V. Andrews as well. And, you know, connect. That's the really great part, you know. Is the ability for people to connect with you.
I think that's true. And it's with each other as well. You know, with the school, the writing school, all of the, you know, the online classes, all of those things that I do have, we have forums where, you know, people can go in. And you know what else we have? It's free councils all over the world. In fact, it's the 26th year of having councils. And it's where someone who knows my work gathers people together in whatever city they are, and it's all for free. And you gather together, you know, once, twice a month, and you know, discuss all kinds of things. And it's a wonderful opportunity to just be able to come together and spiritually connect with kindred spirits. Do you know?
Yeah. Yes. Well, I certainly know from the people that are involved with your organization, have gone through your school, I the relationships that they have and talk about and are just amazing. So, you know, it's more than just going through a school or just joining an organization. It's really being part of a tribe.
It is. It is a tribe and a very... a very beautiful and loving tribe, and we're very loving for each other. You know, most of us stick together throughout our lives in one way or another. You know, we're friends or the people join Kindred Spirits, which is my graduate school. We gather once a year for a training, and we talk about, the truths of life and the difficulties, and we support each other incredibly, and it's a magnificent circle. So, you know, a lot of times you go to a school and you meet wonderful people, and then you graduate, and then you're just left out there somewhere. And I couldn't do that to my people. And so I formed Kindred Spirits and make it possible for us, you know, to get together and really have this journey together. In whatever they,
Yeah. Oh no. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead, sweetheart.
No, I was just going to say you're getting ready to gather your tribe in Sedona in June, right?
Yes. The let's see, when does it start? It's coming up, and I'm so excited about it. And it's June 12th to the 15th. June 12th to the 15th, and we're going to be at the Sedona Creative Life Center, which is the most exquisite venue. It's up on the side of a mountain, and it's just architecturally it's magnificent. And there's a beautiful chapel there, and I do ordain ministers in the third year of the school. And I ordain ministers because it gives you a legal right to have a sanctuary of your own. And, you know, we're shamans, we're, I don't exclude anything, if you know, I mean, anything that's of the light, I should say. And I do ordain ministers. It's a beautiful ceremony, and anyway, it's in a kind of crystal part of the building. It's, you look out on these pyramids of glass on the red mesas of Sedona. It's just magnificent. And we're going to have quite a time. I have a band of magnificent musicians, excuse me, that have been with me for years. And 17 or 18 years. And
wow.
And we all come together, and I just can't say to your listeners enough, you know, it's such a wonderful gift to have this event. I don't know anybody else that does an event like this. You know, it's like putting together a Broadway play, for heaven's sake. And
right.
We have an, you know why, Kim? It's because I write about my experiences, and deep in my heart, I wanted to help others have an experience of some part of the beauty that I see in the world and that they see in the world. So they come to an event and they have a true experience. They make something of beauty that they can take home. They have experiences in many different ways. And that's why I do this event with such an effort behind it. And there's so many. We've been working on it all year long.
Is the event open to only people from your school or classes, or is it open to anyone who's drawn to come?
Anybody in the world, anybody that wants to come, and I would invite everyone with open arms. I hope you can come and have this experience.
There you go. For our listeners, especially if you can get to Sedona, June 12th, what an amazing experience to have. So lynandrews.com, check it out. So many ways that you can connect with Lynn. And Lynn, you're still doing personal consultations and readings and everything and healings.
I do once a day. And I love working on the phone, actually, because we can go right into each other's heart and soul, you know, and mind, without having, a room and our physical bodies, it's very wonderful. I didn't think I was going to like it, but I love it. So, yes, I do. I do spiritual counseling every day. And if you would like to have an appointment, you can call the number that's on my website, lynandrews.com.
There you go. And connect personally. How exciting.
It's wonderful.
With everything that you do, what does your day look like? Like, how do you begin your day? Where do you draw inspiration from? How does it all happen?
Well, inspiration has always come to me, first of all, from the Great Spirit. and the, you know, the great beings of light that surround us, but also from nature. And I live in nature. I live out in, I moved from Beverly Hills about 10 years ago because I have horses, and I showed horses, I've shown horses all my life, and Arabians, and I wanted to have a place for the, my horses that were finished showing to grow old and be safe. So I left L.A. and bought a place here, and it's just north of Phoenix. It's on the other side of Carefree. And I'm in Cave Creek, and I'm up against the mountains and the National Reserve. So I can ride right out of the back of my barn out onto these trails. And it's fabulous, really quite fabulous. And so I and I have two little pygmy goats that are exquisite little creatures, yes. And five horses and two dogs and a lot of nature, a lot of lot to take care of. And I really did, you know, take on a lot of responsibility, I must say. And if I, you know, inspiration comes to me all the time, Kim, doesn't it to you too? I mean, I just see driving down the road or walking or just sitting here, just watching TV even. You know, I'll be watching TV, and I'm not really watching it. My mind is really somewhere else. And I don't know. Inspiration comes from God, I think.
Right. Well, as you know, as we undertake a spiritual path and a commitment, you know, certainly life is never boring. And, you know, for me, I agree. Inspiration comes in so many ways, and my mind is always doing that dance. Always.
Yeah. Oh, it's so true, honey.
Yeah. So for our listeners that are tuning in and maybe are not so familiar with your work, what book do you recommend that they begin with? Well, you know, what's the best way? Is it Medicine Woman to start at the beginning and move that way?
Well, you can pick up any of my books. You know, they're a story unto themselves, and they're in different countries, usually different parts of the world. Certainly Medicine Woman introduces you to the fact that I'm working with two extraordinary Native American women. And but coming full circle, my latest book is wonderful. And also, I've done a deck of cards called the Power Deck. And I found a wonderful Dutch artist that had magnificent paintings. And I used the paintings that he had on the front of the cards. And then I wrote aspects of wisdom as a prayer for every day of your life. In other words, it's a whole, it's an oracle, of course. And you can use the cards if you're a professional and you're working in psychiatry or therapy in any way. You can pull a card and or have someone else pull a card. It's really, they're very powerful. And one of the main reasons that I did the cards was so that you can pull a card before you go out for your day. People don't have time to pray, so I thought, okay, I'm going to do this magnificent, beautiful deck of cards, and they can pull a card for the day and read it quickly, look at the beautiful painting, and then have a point of view from which they can proceed for the day. I mean, maybe let's say you pick a card that has a magnificent painting of the pyramids of Egypt, and you turn it over and it has the word impeccability, and then it has a description of impeccability, and it gives you a boost, kind of, and turns your mind around from your worries and all of the things that you have in your head. And so you go out on your day with a little different idea, Do you see what I mean?
Absolutely. I love your deck, by the way, and I'm one of those people who I pull cards. You know, I do journaling every morning. I do my morning pages, and
oh, that's
frequently
wonderful.
I pick from different decks, and I do. I love your deck. I also love your book, Walk in Balance, the meditations, because it gives these gorgeous little snippets from all of your different works. And,
yeah, aren't
and
they great?
Very
yeah.
Inspiring.
Yeah, it's a way. It's by the day, so you look up whatever day it is and then read what's there.
Absolutely. So what, in all of your travels, what has been your favorite place to be? Where have you felt most spiritually connected?
I think Egypt, probably. Egypt is the source, I think, source.
Wow.
Place of such, it's still so alive. I love the Nile. And I take people on trips, usually once a year. And last year was Ireland, and before that it was Egypt a couple of times until all this trouble happened. And it's been a magnificent journey everywhere. But I must say that Egypt, those great thoughts, I absolutely loved Taiwan. I love mountains, I love the water, I love the ocean, and I love Hawaii. You know, I give a wonderful event in Hawaii on December 4th or 1st of every year. And, we stay at a beautiful place, a hotel called the Manalani. It's on the big island, the sacred island of Hawaii. And we have the sacred fish ponds there that were built by King Kamehameha 100 years ago. And the ocean is right there. It's a small, much more intimate hotel. And it is just a fabulous event of it's relaxation, it's beauty. We go deep into learning, but we also have time to rejuvenate our spirits.
Oh, I love
to say
that.
Nothing
and
of our bodies.
And for those who are interested in the Hawaii event, Returning to Eden, again, lynnandrews.com, and just click the events tab, and you can kind of get a feel for, you know, what's upcoming with Lynn. I love the pictures from last year's event or prior events of you with the lathe. They're so beautiful. You look so,
so
at home.
Yeah, I do. I feel very, very at home. It's so funny. I'm wearing a Hawaiian thing right now. I wear them every day. Of course, I'm in Arizona, so it's kind of warm here.
Yes, yes. I lived in Phoenix for a couple of years, so I remember.
Oh, did you really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I lived right in northern Phoenix in Arrowhead area.
Arrowhead?
You know,
I don't know
where that is. Arrowhead. I worked at Arrowhead Hospital. And, that's where I lived. I lived right down the street from there. And so I'm very familiar with Cave Creek and all those areas. So,
yeah.
You know, Phoenix is beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful city.
Well, it is. It's got too many people these days, but it is still beautiful. And that's one of the reasons I'm so glad that I'm out here. But every once in a while, it ruins my phone line.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what I always liked about Phoenix is that, you know, obviously it is a city, and it is crowded. But within 30 minutes, you can be out in desert, and it's so peaceful and gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and you learn to love it. I mean, a lot of people, I was born in Seattle. And I'm used to, you know, high pine trees and everything. And so you get used to a different look You know, the whole, all of Phoenix right now is covered in gold blooming trees. The Palo Verde is blooming gold. Oh, divine. And anyway, my darling, I have somebody waiting for me, and I have to leave you.
Well, that is fine, because I think we're just at the point where we've talked about so many wonderful things, and we've left it open so that you can come back and join us again.
Oh, darling, I would absolutely love that. And, Kim, you know, thank you for giving us all a chance to be heard in the world. You're so very gracious and wonderful to be doing that. And thank you so much for being in my life.
Oh, thank you. And, Lynn, you're very special. And for all of our listeners, check out LynnAndrews.com, Lynn V. Andrews on Facebook. This is a lady you need to connect with. And your life will be richer for it. So, Lynn, thank you again. From my heart to yours, thank you so much.
Oh, namaste to all of you, and big hugs, Kim. I'll talk to you soon.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you, Lynn.
Okay, namaste, darling.
And for all of our listeners, that was Lynn Andrews. She's amazing. She's just so cool. And highly recommend her books, especially if you're drawn to the shamanic path. But she also really speaks to all of the women empowerment, which is really what Mother House of the Goddess is all about. So we are ending this Goddess Alive radio show. So tickled to have all of you with us tonight, and I thank you. We have some really awesome guests upcoming. I'm absolutely thrilled to my tippy toes that next Saturday, May 10th, 8 p.m., we will be joined by Max Dashew from the Suppressed Histories Archive. And, ma'am, we are going to talk about women's empowerment, and we are going to talk about the suppressed histories, and we're going to talk about feminism and all kinds of great things. That's next Saturday, May 10th at 8 p.m. Our full moon will be Tuesday, May 13th at 8 p.m. Eastern, and our guide is Eliza Fail, and we are connecting with the goddess Lilith, and we're going to hit those emotions hard, and I can't wait. It'll be exciting, I promise. You can check out goddessaliveradio.com, motherhouseofthegoddess.com, and keep up with everything that's going on. My name is Kimberly Moore. I'm the founder of the Mother House of the Goddess and one half of Goddess Alive Radio. We send much love out to Tracy. She'll be back with us on May 10th. And to all of you, from my heart to yours, thank you. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for supporting Mother House of the Goddess. I am going to leave you this evening, again, as we always do, with the gorgeous, gorgeous music of Nalini Blossom and the Glastonbury Women's Choir. Blessed weekend to all.